Welcome to Canada's National Bible Hour. This is Brian Albrecht, your host and president of Mission Go.
Happy New Year. We're glad that you're listening. I thought a good verse to start the year out would be found in Galatians chapter 2, verse 20, which says, I am crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. What a great verse that tells us how to have connection with God. We need to be crucified with Christ. We have to realize that Jesus died in our place on the cross. And because of the great sacrifice he made, it means that we need to be crucified and be dead to sin and dead to the things of this world and alive to Christ. And it says we live by faith. We trust God for everything. We don't trust the world. We don't trust our own efforts. We don't trust people around us. We trust only Christ. And as we live by faith, God blesses us and uses us and helps us to reach out to a lost and fallen world. We need to be light in such a dark age.
Of Global Times. Today we have in our studio Abu Saad, who's from the Middle East. He has quite a ministry there. He's ministering actually in Syria, Iraq, Iran, Lebanon, Jordan, Libya, Sudan, lots of places. So Abu, tell us about your ministry and how God called you to serve the Lord.
Well, thank you for this time. God called me since 1990 from a vision God gave it to me to reach every home and every tent and to mobilize Arab to reach their country. It started since that time We start to do door-to-door ministry. Today we have also a follow-up ministry, which we concentrate on the discipleship. We make sure that those people are discipled who wants to know about Christ or who are eager, looking for Jesus, coming through knowing Christ sometimes from vision or through TV or track or radio or different ways. We're reaching out for ethnic groups also. And today it's interesting how God is also using us among those poor refugees who are coming from Syria, out from Syria and out from Iraq.
Yeah, it's really interesting. You were telling me about the people that have fled from Iraq, especially into Jordan, and how they're in very tight quarters in the housing there in Jordan. Could you describe that for us?
Yes. Today, those refugees, especially if we're talking about the Christians who flee from ISIS, from Iraq, today they're in Jordan finding homes. But in every apartment, let's say, not even homes, how many rooms this home care or this apartment care, in each room you find a full family living in that room. If, let's say, this apartment has three rooms, they have three families, even one family in the living room, that's a part of one room. So the situation is difficult, it's hard, they were threatened to be slaughtered just because the name of Christ.
Wow. Now, most of these people that call themselves Christian, would you call them born-again Christians?
No.
Would they just be...
No, those are nominal Christians. Mm-hmm. And God is giving us opportunity again to reach out to those people to show them who is Jesus and how Jesus cares. And that's a part of showing them we're here today helping you because Jesus cares about you.
Yeah, and you were also telling me that you're personally sponsoring, I think it's 12 kids who have no way of getting education. You're actually sponsoring them in a Christian school in Jordan?
Yes. After looking to those families, even after counseling and even sharing Christ with them, it was always good for sure, because the word of God will always, you know, refresh our spirit and our soul. But one of the things I find out that really refresh them as a family and give them opportunity to hear more and deeply, I want to say, the word of God, that when we start to take those kids and put them in a school, and not any school, Christian schools, so we can see now the family are back gathered as a yes, in a bad situation, but still but you can see how their family engagement again together and with Christ this time.
Yeah, that has to encourage their mom and dad of all these children. How about is there any jobs for these people? How they support themselves even though they're living together and all this? It seems like it's got to be a terrible burden to pay a rent or feed yourself and keep yourself in clothing.
Yes, you know, as you know, this is still new. Just a couple of months ago, they start to flee. Those men, they're trying to find out any jobs, anything to make it in daily basis.
So basically, they're using their savings to support themselves at the present moment.
Well, the savings, they paid their rent, and that's some of the families. We don't know. They don't know even if they are going to can continue after 2 months after that or no. So
to stay in the house.
Yes. Yeah. So that's really, we don't know how the situation is going on. There's a burden on everyone. And it's we're not talking about 10 or 100, but hundreds, even thousands of families. Please pray for us God will give us wisdom how to deal with this situation. It's not about just food it's a family, a life.
Well, Abu, thank you so much for sharing this, and we'll continue this discussion next week. The Lord bless you. And we certainly will be praying, because what a great opportunity to meet physical needs with the idea of sharing Christ and bringing them into the kingdom of God.
Thank you very much. God bless you.
Thank you for listening to Canada's National Bible Hour. As you know, this is a listener-supported program, and we would not be on the air without the support of our listeners. This month, we have a wonderful pamphlet that will help all of us to understand those who have dementia, Alzheimer's, or other mental illnesses. It's a pamphlet that's put out by Help a Friend Ministry, which is put out by Joni Erickson. I found it to be very helpful. Many of you probably don't know that my mom had passed away with Alzheimer's. It was a 7 or 8 year long trek down. And I found that this pamphlet was a very great help even to me after she had passed. And I wish I would have had it when she was still alive. It has so many wonderful things and it's almost indescribable. You just have to write in and get it. It talks about encouragement from God's word. It tells about what you should say and not say to people that have dementia. It's how to help. It has so many pieces of advice are so encouraging to people that are going through this trauma trying to meet needs in a loved one's life. So I highly recommend it, and I think it'd be a great blessing to everyone who knows someone who has memory loss. You can write to Canada's National Bible Hour, Box 1210, St. Catharines, Ontario, L2R787, or in the United States at Box 2010, Buffalo, New York, 14231. Of course, this pamphlet is free, but we ask that you pray for us. And if you can send us a gift, it'll be a great help in January when we have donations are way down. Please remember us in prayer. And the Lord bless you and thank you for everything that you do for us. Please write and get this wonderful booklet entitled Memory Loss. Today's message is from the Honorable Ernest C. Manning and is entitled, Faith Once Delivered.
Today we begin a new series of talks entitled, The Faith Which Was Once Delivered Unto the Saints. Those of you familiar with your Bibles will at once recognize that this title is taken from the third verse of the book of Jude, which reads, Beloved, when I gave all diligence to write unto you of the common salvation, it was needful for me to write unto you and exhort you that ye should earnestly contend for the faith which was once delivered unto the saints. Jude was one of the four sons born to Mary and Joseph after the miraculous virgin birth of Jesus Christ. Judas and Judah are variations of the name Jude. In fact, the derivative Judah is used instead of Jude in Mark 6:3, where the scribes, questioning Christ's supernatural wisdom and power, said, Is not this the carpenter, the son of Mary, the mother of James and Joseph, and of Judah and Simon, and are not his sisters here with us? They, of course, believed that Joseph, Mary's husband, was also the father of Jesus, rejecting the fact that he was conceived by the Holy Ghost, and was therefore literally the Son of God. Because Mary was the mother of both Jesus and Jude and his brothers and sisters, they were half-brothers and sisters of Jesus Christ. Jude, recognizing that this was of no significance in comparison to the deity of Christ, does not even mention their relationship through Mary, but refers to himself only as the servant of Jesus Christ and brother of James, who was much more widely known in the early church than Jude. Jude, in his deep desire to see the early Jewish Christians gain a deeper understanding of what he referred to as the common salvation, applied himself diligently to the preparation of an epistle with that objective. But his intentions were set aside when the Holy Spirit directed him instead to address to the believers a strongly worded letter, exhorting them that they should earnestly contend for the faith which was once delivered unto the saints. The faith once delivered is, of course, God's written revelation of eternal truth, which we know today as the inspired books of the Old and New Testaments, or, in other words, the Bible. God willing, what I propose to do in this new series of talks is examine into the great fundamental doctrines which are the highlights of the faith which God, by the Holy Spirit, delivered unto the saints when he caused holy men of God to speak and write the inspired scriptures not as they chose, but as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. Because God so moved to put into the possession of finite men a word-perfect revelation of his absolute and eternal truth that's forever settled in heaven, he could and does say of his finished work, "All Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable. For the prophecy, or revelation, came not in old time by the will of man, but holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost." That is the source from which, and the means by which, there came into our possession in written form what Jude speaks of as the faith which was once delivered unto the saints. The great highlights of that faith once delivered that I'd like to examine with you for the next several weeks include such all-important matters as the divine verbal inspiration and preservation of the infallible scriptures, the deity of Jesus Christ, the role of Christ's blood atonement in the reconciliation of men and women to God, Christ's literal bodily resurrection from the dead, his literal bodily ascension after his resurrection, the revelation of the gospel of grace to the Apostle Paul, the mystical body of Christ or universal church, the translation of the saints at the end of this church age, the literal future personal return of Jesus Christ to this earth, to take over the management of world affairs, the literal future resurrection of the dead of all ages and their status in eternity, the coming future judgments of believers in Christ, the nations of this earth and the unbelieving dead, the coming kingdom of heaven on this earth, and finally, the promised new heaven and new earth, wherein there will be nothing that offends and which will continue forever. Now, that's a pretty formidable list of highlights, but every one of them is important to you and to your loved ones and friends, because it is your knowledge of and reaction to these great eternal truths that determines your attitude to the Bible, to God himself, and to his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. Your attitude in turn influences your response to what God asks you to believe and what he asks you to do for your own good, both here and in the world to come. An examination into these great revealed truths is not a theoretical religious exercise, but an intelligent and realistic act on the part of those wise enough to be interested in and concerned about their relationship with God and their eternal destiny. I hope you'll join us each week by your radio, and I hope you'll encourage your friends and acquaintances to listen. Some of you may wish to obtain the talks in manuscript form or on cassettes for group study and discussion. Manuscripts of the talks are available free of charge and postpaid on request. The talks will be available on cassettes at cost when the series is completed. Do let us hear from you if you're interested. Next week, God willing, we'll deal with the divine verbal inspiration and preservation of the infallible scriptures. Did God give a perfect written revelation of his eternal truth to mankind at some point in time past? And if so, has he preserved that perfect revelation down through the centuries to this present time? In other words, do we today have a word-perfect translation of the Bible which we can say with absolute confidence is the verbally inspired, divinely preserved, infallible, and inerrant Word of God? As a preliminary to our examination into what the scriptures affirm regarding all these great cardinal doctrines of the faith which was once delivered, may I ask you to take note of what the scriptures themselves say is the key to an intelligent understanding and acceptance of the Bible. I direct your attention to two significant statements. The first is in 1 Corinthians 2:14 and reads, "The natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him, neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned." The second is also in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 18. "The preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness, but unto us which are saved it is the power of God." One of the things of the Spirit of God referred to in the first of these passages is the preparation of the written revelation of divine eternal truth, which Jude calls the faith which was once delivered unto the saints. The scriptures themselves and the human writers involved stress repeatedly that the Holy Spirit of God was the author of all scripture. Throughout the Old Testament, you find the human writers making statements like that recorded of King David of Israel in 2 Samuel 23:2, where he says, "The Spirit of the Lord spake by me, and his word was in my tongue." Isaiah 51:16 records God saying to the prophet, "I have put my words in thy mouth." Moses prefaced numerous of his recorded statements with the words, "Thus saith the Lord," thereby disclaiming the authorship of what he wrote. Even the Lord Jesus, though he was the Son of God, stressed that he conveyed the truth of God to mankind not in his own words, but in words selected by his Father and given to him to speak. An example is his prayer to God his Father on the last evening he spent with his disciples before his betrayal and crucifixion. In John 17, beginning at verse 6, he said in his prayer, "I have manifest thy name unto the men which thou gavest me out of the world. Thine they were, and thou gavest them me, and they have kept thy word. Now they have known that all things whatsoever thou hast given me are of thee, for I have given unto them the words which thou gavest me, and they have received them." You see, God himself is the author of all revealed spiritual truth. The Holy Spirit of God is the divine agent who moved holy men of God to speak and record the words of God in written form. He, in that sense, is the author of all scripture. But the natural man, that is, the person who has not been spiritually reborn by that same Holy Spirit, cannot understand the things of the Spirit. Assessed only from the perception of his secular mind, they appear foolishness to him. The reason is the fundamental difference between the realm of the flesh and the realm of the Spirit. When Christ spoke to the Jewish religious leader Nicodemus about the necessity of being spiritually reborn, Nicodemus demonstrated his inability to comprehend what Christ was talking about by his reply, "How can these things be? How can a man be born when he is old?" And Christ replied, "That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit." Your natural mind, Nicodemus, born of the flesh, cannot comprehend the things of the Spirit. Those things can be comprehended only by a mind regenerated by a spiritual new birth. "Marvel not that I say unto thee, ye must be born again." It is only when a man is spiritually reborn of the Holy Spirit that he acquires the capacity to appreciate and understand the things of the Spirit. This is why a spiritual new birth is the first requisite of those who desire to know and understand the truth of God recorded in the inspired scriptures. The authorship of those scriptures is one of the Holy Spirit's greatest works. To understand them, you need to make the personal acquaintance of their divine author. The Holy Spirit who authored the scriptures is the same Holy Spirit who brings about the spiritual new birth of those who respond to the gospel by receiving Jesus Christ into their lives as their personal Savior and Lord. Apart from the illumination of the Holy Spirit, the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness. Once you receive Christ as your personal Savior and the Holy Spirit takes up his abode within you. He gives you a spiritual enlightenment and understanding that enables you to see the death of Christ on the cross in your place as the greatest of all manifestations of the power of God to save to the uttermost all who believe and in simple faith respond to the good news of the gospel. If the Bible seems to you a closed book that you cannot understand, it may well be because you're trying to comprehend it with your natural mind alone. You may be experiencing precisely what the scriptures say you will experience, namely, that the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him. Neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. If that is your problem, why don't you take that wise and all-important step that results in you acquiring a new spiritual nature born of God, that has the capacity to understand and delight in the things of God, including the inspired scriptures, which were authored by the Holy Spirit, and therefore are the one inerrant revelation of eternal truth that this world possesses. My friend, God loves you. That's why Jesus Christ, his Son, died for your sins on the cross, that you might be freed from sin's penalty, reconciled to God for all eternity. Neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. Won't you open your heart and life to Jesus Christ today and invite him in to be your personal Savior and Lord? If you will, he will not only forgive your sins and give you the priceless gift of eternal life, he will also give you a regenerated mind that will enable you to comprehend and appreciate the inspired scriptures in a way impossible to the natural mind. May God bless you.
I trust the message that you just heard will be a real blessing to you, and you can apply it to your life throughout this next week. Here at Canada's National Bible Hour, we're always concerned about those who listen, and we're thankful for believers who tune in each week, but also there are others who don't know Jesus personally. And of course, without a personal relationship with Christ, eternity is a great difficulty. The Bible says that all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. That means that they're not going to go to heaven, they're going to go to the other place. It also tells us that the wages of sin is death, but gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. God did all the work for salvation. God the Father sent his only begotten Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, who became flesh and lived among us, performed miracles, authenticated who he was, went to the cross, died for our sins, paid for our sins as he hung on the cross. He was buried and rose on the third day. He's alive, and he wants you to become a member of his family. You can do that by placing your faith and trust in Jesus Christ alone. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and you will be saved. That's what the scripture says. Please don't forget to write in to get your booklet on memory loss. It's a great blessing, and I know it'll be a great help to you and to your family and to those who do have memory loss. You can write to Canada's National Bible Hour, Box 1210, St. Catharines, Ontario, L2R7A7, or in the United States at Box 2010, Buffalo, New York, 14231. And of course, you can listen to all these broadcasts on our website, www.missiongo.org, missiongo.org. Please remember us in your prayers, and don't forget to send in a gift. This is a very difficult time of the year to raise funds for radio ministries, and we trust that God will continue to bless us and use us in the future, but we need your help. Please pray. May the Lord bless you throughout this week.